Luke 12 and verse 16. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying," I've always thought that was an amazing statement. You know, he thought within himself. Do you ever think within yourself? Of course you do. We all do that. But here's a guy thinking within himself. He's not voicing it. He's just thinking it within himself. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do." Now remember, he's saying this in his head. You know, that's about the only conversation I can win an argument with, myself in my head. And sometimes I even lose that argument. Anyway, and he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, this is really important. When God speaks, everyone should listen. And God said unto him, "Thou fool." Now, by the way, be careful about using that word. I'd be very careful about using that word to anyone. But when God says it, remember what God said in the I think it's in the Psalms, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You know, so it's not a word I think we should throw around, but hey, the scripture uses it, then we can use it in context. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Then, that's a key word in this whole, this is, by the way, what we're doing in this 10 o'clock service, okay, just to give you a, I don't want to give you a, be totally not knowing what's happening. I'm gonna teach a very condensed, if that's possible. I'm gonna teach a condensed Sunday school lesson every week in the 10 o'clock hour. My goal is 20 minutes. So when 20 minutes is up, Brother Barry, do cartwheels back there, okay? Do you have a cartwheel in you? Maybe. Anyway, I'm serious about that. I wanna keep the service tight. But we want to pack as much into this as we can. We haven't been meeting together for 6 months. So don't come to church ready to go home. Come to church ready to sing praises to the Lord, see the family of God. But at the same time, we're not going to be here 4 hours, okay? But I want to give a Sunday school lesson, and then the service will continue on, and then there will be a regular preaching time. But we will give a, and we're not taking a break per se, but there will be a time in here while we're singing or something if anybody needs to use the washroom, and we'll help you with that, okay? That's kind of the goal for what we're doing. So this isn't the message. This is the Sunday school lesson. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church this morning. Thank you for each one that's come. Lord, so many new things about this setup, only having one room, but we're glad for the one room. And I pray that we would not allow the enemy to cause us to focus on what might be considered a negative, but that we would just focus on the scriptures and what you have for us today. If there's anyone in this room that is not saved, they do not know Christ as their Savior, may today be the day of their salvation. From the young ones all the way up to the oldest today, may we have revival in our hearts, those of us that know you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to take just a few minutes. This is a parable. Now, if you've been following the services, if you've been watching online, at 3 o'clock every week, we've been teaching a Sunday school lesson, and we've been going through a series on the parables. And you remember what we've been talking about, and that is that the parables are something that Jesus would do to cast along beside, normally, one specific biblical truth, okay? And it doesn't mean that they weren't true, but in most cases, they were illustrations. They were stories that Jesus would tell. We find them all in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And here's another one that Jesus is telling, and a lot is packed into it. So this is the rich young fool. I want you to look again, if you will, at verse number 20. And I want you to underline, if you don't mind underlining in your Bible, circling it possibly, whatever you want to do. But I want you to look with me at the word then. The word then. Then. In other words, Jesus is saying to this man, then what's going to happen when your soul is required of you? Let me say to you by way of introduction that the future for the believer is filled with peace and joy. The future for the unbeliever is filled with fear and the unknown. Hey, if you're saved here today, then the future for you is peace and joy. Hey, I'm glad that God's got the whole world in his hands. I'm glad that God's got you and me in his hands. I'm glad that everything that's happened in 2020, God knew about it way, 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 way ahead of time. In fact, God is before time. There is no beginning and no ending with God. And so as a Christian today, we don't live in fear. We should not. We live by faith. We live in peace. We live in joy. But the unbeliever, in other words, God says to this man who had all kinds of money, who had all kinds of possessions, God says to this man, hey, tonight your soul is going to be required of you. Then. It's kind of like a pause in it, right? Then. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, all that we are doing now should be in light of then. You follow me? All that we are doing now should be in light of then. This is not just for an unbeliever. This is for the Christian as well. We know that according to the Bible, the Christian is going to have a time of judgment as well. The judgment seat of Christ, where all of our works will be judged. At that time, we will not be judged for our sin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Christian's sins were already judged on an old rugged cross. And we've applied that to our account. The old account was settled long ago. And I'm thankful for that. But we are to be living in light of then. We will live in different amounts of time on this earth. In the last several weeks, we have had people from Anchor Baptist Church celebrate birthday number 100. Imagine that. Many of you never met Mrs. Hilton before she had to go into extended living. She turned 100 last month. I had the privilege of visiting her last week. She was talking about people in the church, that I'm praying for the church. Her physical capabilities of getting up and moving around are done, but her mind is still pretty clear. We also had Brother Gord, who lives just a few hundred yards from here or so, turn 98 in the last. You know what? Everyone's going to live different time when it comes to the earth. Some are going to pass away as teenagers. Some are going to pass away as infants. Some are going to pass away at all different times. But get this. Here's a great thought. But in eternity, we will all live the same amount of time. Because in eternity, there is no time. In eternity, it's eternity, right? We will live in one of two places. Now, the man in the parable, we do not know his name, do we? It just says the ground of a certain what? Verse 16, are you there? A certain what? Speak to me. Rich man. Okay, good. I like being able to hear people talk. Boy, in that room up there at the office, I only had a few people there, and, you know, they got tired of being the amens. No, they didn't get tired of it. They were glad to be there. So you can talk to me. You can talk to me. And so the certain rich man, we don't know who he is, but we know that he was very successful in the eyes of the world, right? Rich people are in the eyes of the world. Someone with lots of money is automatically, they're successful because they have lots of money. Oh, but if you know anything about people, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with having lots of money. The Bible never condemns having lots of money. You know what it does condemn? It condemns the love of it. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. I must hasten. The man in the parable was successful now, but was called a fool because he did not consider then. You understand what it's saying there? He was successful now, but when God said, what about then? And by the way, this is a message for Christians too. He gave no attention to his soul and the judgment of God. He lived for now, but not later. You know, unfortunately, there's a candy. It's probably good that it's not here, but I couldn't find it. My wife looked for me. I looked all over the place. Some of you that have ever gone to the South know that there's a candy down there called Now and Later. Now and Later. Now, you know what? Maybe I didn't look in the right places, but we looked at multiple stores and could not find Now and Laters. I was going to give away a bag of Now and Laters. You'll just have to imagine I have a bag of Now and Laters up here, kids, because the kids are with us. This is Sunday school for the kids, you know? But that's the problem. This guy was focused on now, but not later. You know, I find myself sometimes the very same thing. I get so worked up over now that I forget about later. I'm not talking about later next week. I'm talking about eternity. The rich fool. I wonder, how am I living today? How are you living today? Are you making decisions daily based on now or later? Now, again, that doesn't mean we completely ignore now. But it means that our decisions should be made as we think about eternity. Context of this parable is a man who wants his inheritance and he wants it now. The Man's attitude toward possessions was the problem, okay? And again, I don't have time to go up and read it all, but verses, if you look back, would you go back up with me just quickly? Verse 13, the context of the parable. Why did Jesus give the parable? Look at verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother. Hey, Master, you need to talk to my brother. Why? Look what he says. That he divide the inheritance. So this is the context of the parable of the rich fool. The man says, hey, you need to talk to my brother. You need to talk to my brother and you need to tell him, I need my part of the inheritance now. I'm guessing that maybe the brother was the older brother. I don't know. It doesn't really tell us. But typically the oldest would have been the one that would have been taking care of all of that. And so he says, I need you to speak on my behalf because I need the inheritance and I need it now. Verse number 13, 14. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he goes into the parable. It's not about how many bags of money you have. What's that going to do for you then? You know, we know this, don't we? When we die, everything else, everything, when we die, everything stays behind. We take nothing with us. We came into this world with nothing, we leave with nothing. So why would we as God's people be so concerned with now and not later? I want to challenge you that we need to be more concerned about later than now. You see, the Lord knew his heart. The Lord knew his heart. I don't know your heart, and you don't know my heart, but the Lord knew his heart, and he could look right through his heart, and he said, what did he say? Take heed, beware of covetousness. Oh, that's such a thing that you and I might struggle with from time to time. Oh, I wish I had more of this. Oh, I wish I had one of these. Oh, I wish I had that. Wish I had this. Wish I had that. And he says, hold it. Beware of covetousness. And then he talks about the rich fool. So let me quickly give you three things by way of an outline. Number one, the failure of success. Now, does that make sense? The failure of success. This rich fool was successful, but he failed. He succeeded at something. What did he succeed at? He succeeded at neglecting God, and this made him a failure. He succeeded at ignoring then for the sake of being successful now. This made him a failure. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth. That's a key word as well. Circle or underline the word ground. Now be honest. Don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. But be honest. How many of us have ever got that thought that in the company or the place we work or whatever, that when our check comes in, we always want the check to come in, right? And it gets deposited and so forth and so on. And, we think, man, I've done a great job and I deserve that. Yeah, work hard. You know what? That's a blessing. But I thought it very interesting. I don't think I ever really saw it this way until this time. The Bible emphasizes that it wasn't the rich man that brought forth, it was the ground. You follow that? Who made the ground? Yeah, I'll tell you who it wasn't. It wasn't the rich man. Yeah, that's right, Brother John. Wasn't the rich man. Rich man doesn't have no ground. He doesn't have no fruit. Sorry, my English is a little poor. I haven't been speaking to people much lately. I've been speaking to cameras. Got to work on that. No, without the ground, he doesn't have fruit. Without the ground, he doesn't have success. Without the ground, he doesn't have riches. So who gave him his riches? His creator, God, did. By the way, that's for you and for me as much as it is for him. The rich man did not create the ground. God did. Many times we attribute our success to education or we attribute our success to hard work. By the way, those are both important. Get as much education as you can, as God enables you, and work as hard as you can. But remember this, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Remember this verse. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Who gives us the air that when we get up in the morning and all of a sudden we're breathing, our heart is pumping at the speed to keep us moving. It slows down as we're sleeping. And then as soon as we wake up, it starts picking up a little bit. Do you control that? Do I control that? No. That's coming from God Almighty. What a blessing. The man was impressed with himself. Notice the personal pronouns. You see the personal pronouns there? He said, it says, he thought within himself, what shall I do? I have no room. This will I do. I will pull down. I will build greater. I will bestow my fruit to put my, I will say to my soul. He failed at success. By the way, he made three false assumptions. Here they are quickly. You can think about these. Maybe you're writing them down and spend some time thinking about them. He made three false assumptions. Number one, that his soul could be satisfied with goods. Hey, everyone here knows too much or getting too much is never enough. Our soul can't be satisfied with money. Our soul can't be satisfied with possessions. No, Jesus satisfies. Jesus satisfies the soul. Number two, his goods would last for many years. That's a false assumption. That his goods would last for many years. We have no idea how long our goods are going to last. I just know this. Every day, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west because God is in control of it. I'm not dependent on my goods. I'm dependent on my God. And thirdly, he had a false assumption that he would live long enough to enjoy them. I'm just going to pull down my barns and build bigger ones so that I can have more places to put all these toys. The failure of success. Number two, we see the future of sinners. Look at verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, I've underlined those words, this night. By the way, no one thinks it will be this night. I've talked to people through the years. Pastor, I've got time. No, you don't. I'll get this settled later. No, what's later? That's like the guy in this parable. No, today is the day of salvation. No, today is the day to give your heart to the Lord. Today is the day to live for the Lord. Today is the day to be committed to Christ. You know what we need? We need Anchor Baptist Church. We need believers here today, believers on the live stream today that say, I want to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ like never before. What's it going to take for God's people to say, I want to be committed? Hey, we're going through something that you would think everybody would wake up. Wouldn't you think? I would. I know it's challenging me. I'm not where I need to be. The future of sinners. No earthly possessions will matter the day that our heart stops beating and we leave this body. No amount of power or fame will have any impact on what our then will be like. Then number three is the faith of the saved. The faith of the saved. Look at verse 21. There's a statement that I want us to consider. Verse 21. We didn't read it, but we're going to read it now. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's a no-no. We don't want to be rich toward everybody except God. That's where we want to start. I want to be rich toward God. I ask you this question. Are you rich toward God? I believe the Lord Jesus is challenging his disciples here. He's challenging us today. Here's the challenge. Don't let now get a hold of you. Let then be what holds you. Then whose shall those things be? In other words, he's telling this man, tonight your soul's going to be required of you. It doesn't matter what's in your barn. Somebody else is going to enjoy it. What are we putting ahead for the Lord? Don't let things get a hold of you. Don't let the temporal lead your decisions. Don't let the desire for things overcome you. The admonition is to live like heaven is our eternal home. Would you go with me to one other passage, and we'll close this part. 1 Timothy 6. Thank you for listening. 1 Timothy 6. The failure of success. The future of sinners. Faith of the saved. Look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. The Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, notice, who giveth us richly. Who gives us richly? Who? God. Does Echo Shoes give us richly? No, I thought at least one person would say no. Yeah. No. Does wherever you work, sorry, I don't know all your company names, City of Vancouver? No. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Verse 18, that they do good, that they may be rich in good works. Rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against what? The time to come. What is the time to come then? The rich fool was so concerned about now. And God says, what about then? Paul says to Timothy, build something against and do something and lay up something for the time to come. Send up treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. These are the true riches. James 2:5 says, rich in faith. These are the true riches. So I trust today that we'll learn from this parable some things not to do and some things to do.